Monday, November 6, 2017, Dakota County Board of Commissioners Roundtable Discussion at 1:30 p.m. regarding the M Avenue paving project. 3 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization, and 3:02, Dakota County Board of Commissioners business meeting.
M Avenue project roundtable discussion. Order, you may all stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do we have a open meeting act? We got to post that here for this. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the wall near the entrance of the county boardroom. Is available for people in attendance to review. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Phil.
Yes.
Okay. And I would like an introduction.
Yeah, let's, people that are involved that we're going to be speaking here, I guess, let's, if you don't mind going around the table or and everybody introducing themselves so we know who we're talking to and dealing with. And Joan Spencer, of course, everybody knows Joan. I'm Scott Love, the county chair.
I'm Joni Albright, the state senator in this area.
I'm Alex Duryea. I'm the ecotourism consultant with the Nebraska Tourism Commission.
Bill Roby, commissioner of Dakota County.
Martin Hohenstein, commissioner of Dakota County.
Vinny Cramper, just resident.
Jim Steele with the South Sioux Chamber and Convention Visitors Bureau.
I'm Jeff Fields. I'm the regional park superintendent for the Northeast Region and the Parks Commission.
Terry Schumacher. I'm the land and water programs coordinator with the Pampa Missouri River Natural Resources.
Schumacher. Schumacher. No, Terry.
Kevin Rody, commissioner.
Tony Gomez, Dakota County commissioner.
Anybody out? Fred Kellogg?
You want to come up and
come on up,
I think there's,
come on up.
There's a couple of chairs.
There's chairs here.
No, Fred can't hear very well. Come on up, Fred. Welcome. Okay, what we're going to do here is 1:30 here. We got the M Avenue paving roundtable discussion with the following entities. Village of Hubbard, obviously they're not here, but I know we have some minutes of their last meeting. And Nebraska Parks and Game. Nebraska Environmental Trust, the Papio, the NRD, and then Department of Roads. So here we are. Vince, I'd like to turn it over to you if you want to get this rolling, if you don't mind, and we'll just all join right in with you.
I'll keep it within an hour.
Perfect.
okay, I'm Vinny Cramper here. And, has anybody not seen the lake or in it? I've been out there. I've got some maps here about it. Anybody wants to take one, pass them around. I don't think there's enough for everybody. But okay, this is to talk about hard servicing the road, getting to the lake area and so forth. And just a little bit of history here of how this got started, perhaps. But I talked to different people, and most of them were around the table here. I talked to Joni, and she said she wanted to help. And that's great news, too. I talked to the governor last summer. And he thought it was a great idea that we could do something if we could. So he gave me two names to get to and talk to Kyle. And I can't pronounce his last name. Is it Schneider? Something like that. Anyhow, he would love to do whatever he can do. And in fact, he wouldn't mind being a spokesman. And I've got a letter from him saying that he would be a point person for the commissioners if needed any help or ideas or so forth. And then
who's he with?
That's
Nebraska
Department of Roads.
He's Department of Roads.
Department of Transportation.
Okay. Department of Transportation.
Department
of Transportation. So he's, yeah, over the whole road, but system.
Okay. Right. You get
all the okay.
Okay.
I talked to the Environmental Trust, and they, Mark Roman, the manager, called me and said he would not be able to be here, but, he's sorry that he couldn't be here. And now the thing with them is, and I'll just briefly tell you what he said. They do not do roads, and I knew that because I've been on the board for 20 years. But any environmental issue that comes up regarding this road building or whatever, such as erosion control, grass planting, detention cells to hold water, contouring, anything like that, they're glad to accept applications, and they're be glad to help on this project. And that, if we did, an application have to be put in by September of 2018. And then it would be April before the awards were granted if they were accepted. And by the way, that's lottery money, not tax money, so that's good money. I talked with the Jeff Fields and so forth, and they're here to speak of him and everything, so I'm not going to say anything on that. And just temporary, he told me that the short term, the money is tied up this time. However, it needs to get into the budget, and what they have is the cigarette tax money, and that's mostly what that's supposed to be for, is roads, I understand. But now many people love the lake for camping, fishing, and they love the area. Now, the NRD, Terry Shoemaker here is here, and I'll let you speak for the NRD. And I've talked to John earlier, and they are very interested in how we're going at this, and they would love to help. But I'll let you talk about that. And Memorial Day campers, this is one of the problems here. The park was filled, and the people there just loved it and everything. However, they had a problem of getting up the hill. Some of these guys buy a pickup and a camper, and they get a big camper, and they forget to get a big pickup to pull it. And it's a washboard road, and it always has been and everything. And they said, I'm not coming back because it's just too hard to get up that hill, and they worried about it too much. But and the trouble is, those camper people, as you know, have a group that they can talk to. They go to other campsites, and they say, I think we'll go out to Crampers Lake out there. Well, boy, I don't know if we can make that hill or not. And, I mean, that's one of our biggest discouragements, is when people talk against it like that. And that's the only thing against it I've ever heard about here. But it is an issue. Well, I can explain that okay. Okay, some of the benefits of the project, I don't think a lot of people really understand what those benefits are. Actually, when we built the dam, when I was on the commission, when we got the money for this and everything, they estimated what's the benefits of the dam to the countryside and what's the benefits to the area. Well, it's about $900,000 a year benefits to the area with the whole project. And just for the recreation part of it, it's $400,000 to $500,000. That's the benefits per year that they anticipate can happen here. Now, that can vary, but what that includes is like fishing, restaurants, parks, gas, hotels, and stuff like that for the year. So there is a great benefit to have that, make it so people will really want to go there. It's a great asset to the area, of course. Now, also, this road, I understand from the local people around there, is a very, very busy road, especially truck traffic and so forth, and it's a problem. That hill is a problem, and it's a great asset to the area to have this hard surface. So I'm here to listen to see how maybe this can possibly get going. So I'll finish with that.
Thank you, Pat. Okay, so let's move on. Let's get to the nuts and bolts and figure out what this price. Do we know, Fred, exactly the estimates of what this, what we're thinking this is going to take, money wise?
C Avenue was
850,000, 875,000.
Yes, and it is. I got it written down here. I'll get for you in a second. The length of portion of M Avenue that would be.
So okay, So from the line, and we've been out there several times and measured it, and I can never remember, and I probably should write it down someday. Is it in the packet? The exact. I haven't been through my whole packet. I've been doing claims here.
There you go. Right there.
Okay.
Okay. I am 3,000 bucks.
Okay, so the Hubbard Village limits to 203rd. Okay, it's 3570. Estimated 700,000, and then the M Avenue paving, 24 feet wide, which 8 inches, I don't think 24 is wide enough myself with the ditches.
How wide is the road from right. Jackson to there?
That's 22.
I've often heard that's too narrow.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that would be another foot on either side.
You know, which...
How wide is M Avenue? Is some of that gravelly shoulders thing?
How wide is M Avenue now? It is probably close to 30 feet, 32.
So you have some shoulder of M Avenue outside the paving.
Right. Then Bill and I talked on Friday about this, trying to get a kind of a game plan, and obviously what the monies were, and I know these are not engineered yet, but 24 in my eyes is just not wide enough. You know, because
that's a minimum standard.
Right, I understand that.
There's a reason that's on there.
Yeah, and I understand you got the guidelines for the numbers.
C Avenue, that is what it is.
C Avenue is 24. Okay. Maybe that extra 2 foot. Like I said, I know that road going to that bluff road up there. That's, it's not wide enough.
I was following combine the other day on that road, and you probably know the combine. I was going from north to south. The left side road tire that was right on that jello line, and the other tire was right on the
center.
Not in the center. Right on the edge of the road.
Right. No, I know what you're saying.
My concern is that watched out, on that road. Even this 24, it's going to be. The shoulders. I mean, but you guys know more than I do. But I noticed that combine is going to destroy the shoulders. Even though it's 24.
Right.
But what do you?
Well, for an engineer, and like you say, being on a hill, crest of a hill, I'm sure that they'll want it wider.
Sure. Okay.
Right. And once we get to that engineering, right? No, absolutely. And you see that the Village of Hubbard, they're going to do the 32. And the 9 inches deep, but needless to say, we got 3,570 feet from the Hubbard limits to 203rd, and we got 1,977 from 203rd off of M Avenue to the park entrance. Okay, is what we have. And these estimates, not engineered yet. In my eyes, I think it's low. I think it's very low. I don't think. Well, I shouldn't say very low, but I don't think that it's. You're talking $1.4 million, and I don't think you can get it done. I know, like Fred was saying, the 24 that we had done over on C Avenue, I know Steve Harris did that for us back in, I think it was 2012, if I'm not mistaken. Does that sound right, Bill?
Yeah.
And, that was $875,000, and we were preparing for $1 million, and it came in less, but... I think we're dealing with a whole different animal, with the hills and just the way everything is, and the ditches. But needless to say, worst case scenario, best case scenario, let's just say, for instance, $1.5 million to do this, okay? And I don't think I'm probably going to be very far off, I don't think.
Is that with engineering?
Yeah. Are we going to have to rebuild those hills just because of the winter when it starts to ice up?
I don't believe we would have to. And Fred will be able to answer that, because some of those roads going on Highway 35 are pretty steep, I just think it's a matter of, I don't think they're too steep. Do you, Fred?
I don't think there would be a problem with paving it this way. Right. The way it sounds. With minimum, I've heard things of 10-foot cuts and front on top of the hill. Would that make it better? Yes, but you're going to have to take into that there's residents there, yeah. And there's probably also a lot of utilities running through there also. So I can't believe the engineers say that it can't be paved without doing a 10-foot cut through there.
Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
As far as the drainage and so forth, if they did do some cutting, that's where the environmental trust money really would come in. They could seed that, they can groom it to so it would be acceptable for water runoff and so forth, and they would probably have some money if we apply for them.
Right.
What you would do is you control it with speed also. I mean, you wouldn't have it at 50 mile an hour to crest the hill. You would keep the speed down to 35, 40. What, you know, an engineer is going to tell you all this, the width, the elevation of the hill. They'll be able to tell you everything. But if the hill is so dangerous paved, we're doing it with aggregate right now. I can't see why paving it would make it a worse environment to get over. Would it be better if it was flat? Sure. Be nice if all roads were flat, but they're not.
I'm just throwing this out, is blacktop cheaper or is it not worth the
Any more, it's just about a toss-up.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be a wash, and then plus
the repairs. Yeah, there's money, repairs, there's advantages, disadvantages.
Yeah.
A lot of heavy traffic on that road, too. You know,
You'd have to put probably 8 inches of blacktop, you know. And I know that we did a little stretch in between the two Highway 20s a few years back, and how did we go 8 inches deep on that?
Yes.
And that was a $50,000 bill, and that was not very long. So the pavement, it would definitely,
They're still using asphalt on interstate, so it holds up. I
just wanted to bring it up just to make sure we...
Right, right. Yeah, I think
it's
this
a little easier
long.
To repair, but as far as the ultimate, the first cost of it, there's much different pavement and asphalt.
You know, so, and this kind of creeped up on, this meeting creeped up on us in a little bit of a hurry, but I know when I was talking to Joan and Bill both on Friday, you know, we probably should contact, you know, get with Steve Harris just in general, or maybe Ron Gill or somebody, and have them get with their engineers and just get out there and just see, you know, what their thought process is for the width. But I guess the main thing is what we're talking here today is, you know, if we just kind of, we need to know what everybody thinks they can come to the table with as far as for the finances, obviously, because there's not one entity in this room that's going to be able to pull this off on their own. So is it important that we get it done? Absolutely. You know, I think it's definitely important. But in the same time, we just need to figure out the monies. I think that's what we all know what we're here for, is how we're going to, you know, finance this thing and make it work.
What is Hubbard's status? Have they approved this paving project? Did the limits?
No.
They haven't.
They have, let me see how Jason worded this. He said they created a paving district. They are starting the process. They're going to inform the landowners and then have an open house. Okay. So
I think it'd be... If this project goes, it'd be in everybody's best interest to do the paving projects at the same time, do the same
contractor
process at the same time.
Save some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Engineer.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, has anybody talked to Jason in general, what, you know, his thoughts are? Because I briefly have, and I think there's a few landowners out there that they're going to have some issues with, I think.
There is a couple landowners that are up in the air, and they're working with them. They have been at this process for over a year. They had it on their agenda, and then they took it off, regrouped, got more information, and now they're back at it, more organized. So I believe I'm optimistic, let's put it that way. But they are going to have some hurdles yet. When we have that open house, we'll know more. There's a couple.
When's that taking place?
Was there a date on that, Joan?
No, they haven't. I was at the last meeting when they passed that ordinance. And the first thing they're going to do is hire the abstract company to get the exact footage of each property owner. And then they'll get an estimate of the cost. And then they'll send the letter out. Then they'll have the public hearing. So I would guess maybe 2 months before the public hearing. That's just absolute guess.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, you know. Because there's several steps. Because they don't... There was one landowner there, and he requested that they have at least an estimated cost before they sent the letter out, because the landowner wants the option of what they think about it, you know. Because it can be stretched over 15 years, but they still want to know what it's going to be.
That was my next question. What the paving project's a 15-year?
That's what the Hubbard was talking about, 15-year payoff.
I also, when we first started, when I tried contacting everybody to get this group together, which I am so glad you're all here. Thank you very much. I talked to Kevin Dunn-Magala from the State of Nebraska Roads Department. He's in Norfolk. I know you have a different contact name on there also, but he told me that if we can get this road changed to be termed Access Road to a State Park, then monies from the State of Nebraska could be allowed to come in and help. But we need to get the governor to sign a paper, Joni, that says that. And I've been on Joni since then, keeping at her that we need to have this done. So if we could get some proposition written up that says change the to a state access or access road to a state park.
I saw you behind you. I'm Catherine.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, yeah, Kevin. Yeah, because Joan just said, "Who's the gentleman in the back?"
That's Kevin.
There is one more chair up here.
Yeah,
come on up. Why don't you come on up and join the fun here?
Right here is fine.
You're right there.
Yeah, what we had talked about was Gavin Parks would go ahead and take that over as a rec road. That would be the only way, and I don't know if with the funding that they have, if, how that would play out.
So when you take when you say take over that road, we take it off of our inventory?
Correct. Right? It would have to be reclassified as a state rec road.
Right. So then we maintain it, yes?
It would... No. It would fall under the rec road status.
Okay.
What about the state park, Ponca? That's the state highway here. Is that the same type of thing? Or?
It would be different. That's still state. That's spur 2016.
Yeah, that's the spur that is leading into the park.
Okay.
So, with that said, and we know that there's a lot of different entities involved, and it's going to take us a lot of time, and it's good that we're here, and you got to start from somewhere. But what your thought process on that? I mean, do you think that how are they sitting on their monies, and what's the odds of them have taken that over?
Well, I can't speak for their budget.
The finances?
I know that they've got more needs than what they've got money for. So the odds of them... asking to take on any more is probably fairly slim.
Right. Is that the cigarette money?
I don't know.
That's what I was told. Yeah, it's the cigarette money.
I thought that was within the park road that was for. No?
Well, it wasn't stated that way to me.
Okay.
It could be. I don't know.
And that's what I thought as well, what Joan said, you know. To take care of the in the park, but maybe not. I don't know.
The process of our rec road program is, like he said, we have a huge list and a small amount of money, and that fund actually has been reduced here in recent years.
It's the story of everyone's life.
Yeah, it's the story of everyone's life. But we're about. I mentioned this the last time I was here. We're about 5 years from even being on that list because we've already committed
to other projects.
So that's kind of the status of that.
Well, that's kind of half depressing, I guess, for us a little bit, isn't it?
Fortunately, it kind of is.
What, Terry? What's your guys? Is it John? Is that correct?
John Winkler. Yeah, we've had several conversations about this. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think. Getting this M Avenue hard surfaced would be a huge benefit to the rec area and the amount of people we're going to have using that site, which we certainly want to see. I think the Bayman Room probably wants to see. So the NRD, we're continuing to spend dollars on capital projects within the park. We've got money in the budget this year to put in a fish cleaning station, and we're potentially going to put in concrete along part of the trails. But I think you know, depending on when this might be done, this project, and I don't think we have anywhere close to an answer. You know, I think we're willing to sit down with, I'm going to say probably Dakota County, and, you know, look at possible ways we might be able to help this proceed.
Right.
You know, I mean, but we're, as far as looking at any sort of commitment on dollars, we're not there yet. And, I mean...
Yeah, and I'm not expecting you to come in here and saying, hey, we're going to throw this much money at this.
Right.
I mean, just, you know, your thought process. And I know you and John have probably talked, like you said, several times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and everybody knows the county situation as well. I mean, if you read the paper, and if you have anything to do with your local government, you know, our situation isn't, you know, any better than, it's probably worse than everybody else's situation, I'm sure. I think, you know, again, we would like to see something done. I think, you know, we're willing to come to the table with something. What that dollar amount is, I don't know, you know. But in the same time, like I said, we got to start somewhere, I guess, you know, and start rolling with this. I know we've talked about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Joni, you have any thoughts for us?
Well, you know, when you take on a project like that lake, the NRD, I mean, obviously that had to be an issue. And the NRDs throughout our state have put in a lot of recreational areas. So how have you financed or how have you taken care of other areas in the patio? How have you funded other properties, say down in Sarpy County or wherever? How do you take it on with a developer and he pays a portion of it? Do you take it on with the cities? How have you been able to finance?
Well, there's a lot of partnerships, whether it's with the cities or Sarpy County or maybe Douglas County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've utilized bonding authority to be able to do some of those larger capital projects.
Back to the people. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's all comes back to you've got a certain amount of dollars and you prioritize the projects just like you do with the state legislature. These people do here with the Dakota County Board. You know, and sometimes you do have to be creative, but we've always been big believers in partnerships, you know, bringing a group like this together and say, this is what we want to accomplish. How do we get there? How do we make this happen? You know, I'm a big believer you have to dream it before it can happen. What I'd like Scott to say is we can do this in fiscal year 2019, but I don't think he's prepared to say that today.
No, you're right, I'm not.
You know, I mean, that's what I would like to hear today, because then we could potentially budget X amount of dollars, you know, in our next fiscal year, and maybe at the same time we got some environmental trust funds, because that could fall into that fiscal year. You know, and that's kind of where we're at.
And that's what I'm saying. So if these engineers go out there and you have an idea, you might have to do these things in phases, obviously.
Right.
But another question I have, because I have been out there, you've got that big hill that everybody's running ag, you know, trucks on with grain and livestock and everything else, and that's where you're getting your ripples. But is there any way that you can go into that park a different way? And the reason I ask is around where those where the horses are. Can you build a shorter road that way instead of messing with the big hill that goes over? And to me, the bigger problem, too, is in Hubbard going over that dip that they have in the road.
I'm sure that's going to be probably...
That is probably a major...
Oh, yeah, I think there's been some bumpers tore off with some things and et cetera. But
some cars split.
Well, I'm sure. But I'm assuming that when...
It's an inverted speed bump.
Exactly. If the village of Hubbard, you know, I'm sure that'll be corrected if they get their deal passed, I would think.
Okay, so but is there any other way to go turn by the horse area on that corner? Is that making it shorter to put something like that in instead of going up and over that big hill?
Well, it was actually the road to begin with to that area. And when the lake was made, to make the lake entrance and everything else to where it is now, they closed off that section of road. Of course, it's part of it's underwater right now. There's actually a bridge in the middle of the lake.
Down I just thought road. That would be a shorter route to get those big campers to
the hill. Actually, going to back to the east there, going up there, you're going to have about the same thing.
Now, we talked about it at NRD about originally that's where the road was going to be going into it, but the engineers found out that is a steeper hill yet. So it was cheaper to go around the way we've got it now. But that might be an access road. That hill could be taken down without bothering neighbors very much and make it a lot less steep. It sure be a lot shorter.
If it doesn't fall underwater, if there's an overabundance of water coming.
When it comes to the park entrance, I think is your biggest problem there. They don't have any, the parks don't have any entrance. All their entrances for checking.
Go into one spot.
Everything comes in from that side. There's a campsite. Once you get to the top of that hill, there's a campsite right there. So I'm sure it would be redesigning their whole camp area to make a road. The other road is the reason it is there, besides being
another way out.
They had to make a thorough road to go on the road to the east there also. So that is the main thing for the engineers.
So I don't have any answers because the state doesn't have any money either. But to redesign it to be a road between the parks, you know, that's all well and good. But you have to find out how you guys lay everything out to make that work. But I don't know if and get on everybody's list of wants, you know, to ask. You got to ask for it, and it could be 5 years out. But can we afford to ask people to go somewhere else and not come to our park, you know, because of it? It's not good either.
Yeah, 5 years I wouldn't say it could ruin it, but it would definitely hurt it.
Yeah.
You know. Alex, you want to add anything?
I can't think of anything that we have in terms of monetary compensation. All our dollars are earmarked for marketing and promotion funds. We can't do anything brick and mortar, so... I think that's kind of out. But in terms of promoting your area and that kind of thing, I did bring some marketing grant application forms, and I'm sure some of you guys have possibly used them in the past. But I did bring some if you did want to look at that kind of thing. But then there was something. I did come in a different way, actually. I came in from the east side, not through Hubbard. I came out through Hubbard. I drove on like 6 miles of gravel road to get there, and I don't think that's really feasible.
Yeah, that's a long jaunt that way. Yeah,
that's not very good snaking.
Right.
Right.
Thanks for looking over Dakota County, though, Ellen.
Yeah.
Jim, you have any thoughts?
You know, you wait. The longer you wait, it's going to hurt us.
I know.
People coming for the attractions and all that kind of stuff. That's where we sit on that, and you know, it's kind of on the same page there. But, hopefully, there's something we can do or come together with something.
And private funds and fish and wild game people that would like to.
The one thing I should mention when I said the 5 years, what I see we could benefit would be to pave everything in the park, which obviously you bring a paved road. You're
to the entrance, and then all of a sudden, there's gravel. I said that to Joan on Friday.
It's going to be fairly substantial if you look at it in the terms of camp pads. There's quite a bit of pavement in the park there, too.
I don't think people would complain too much if it was gravel in the park.
Not as much, no.
10 miles along and stuff. But
it'll up the
chair.
Yeah, it will.
The suggestion I have is that we at least go through with the engineering part.
Get a
and find out what is the price, what we have to do for excavation out there before we go any further. At least get that. The width of the road so we can have all that questions answered. I'm just guessing, but $20,000-$30,000 for engineering out there. Maybe we can find someone cheaper. but at least we'll know exactly what we're talking about. The Roy, maybe they will say that that is impossible without, and we might,
right.
We might at least want to find out exactly
what we're facing.
What we're facing,
yeah.
Dollar amount, and our physical obstacles that we got.
You know, and like I said about the money, you know, and I promise you, I know everybody has their situations and everybody's in a crisis, and but I would think, you know, the crisis that the county's in, you know, I mean, obviously the only way we're going to be able to do it is obviously we would have to bond, you know, some monies to do this, and have another payment. A payment's a payment. You know, it's still, you know, that's money out the door every year. Twice a year. But anyways, that's the only way that we're going to be able to do it if we do come to terms. And I would think with as many entities, people that are involved with this, you know, like Fred said, you know, once we get a dollar amount, it just, you know, is it a five-year project? County government, local government, everybody's boards, it's probably, unfortunately, realistic, you know, as much as I hate to say that. But, you know, it takes a long time. You know, what they always told me was, you know, when I had my business, and they said, you get in that county government, it's a slow wheel. It's going to drive you crazy. And it does, because everything takes so long to do, you know. But I would think that, you know, Joni, and I think she said the state, you know, they're broke, and you know, the county's broke, and but I would think we should be able to figure it out between everybody that's involved, I would think, you know. Because if you get everybody involved, and I know you got people to answer to, and you got boards to deal with, but I would think it's going to benefit everyone, and it should not cost, depend upon what the dollar comes back, you know, a lot of money for, you know, one in particular entity, you know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense, or am I just up here starting to babble a little bit?
I've got an audience question.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jean Grove. Will the property owners be assessed any of the costs of this road like they are inside city limits?
No.
Okay.
No.
So
the other thing I thought is, you know, when Papio built that area, they put all the capital up front, and then we had an agreement, an interlocal agreement, to put so many dollars from the county towards that project. You know, if the county, if we would get an interlocal agreement, if we would, not that we have the money. I mean, we have the borrowing power. I mean, we can, you know.
It's an exception. I know where you're going, Joni. I know exactly where Joan's going. Oh, yeah, I've talked about them a lot.
And I just want to throw out, too, don't forget the benefits that this creates for the whole area here. And it's $400,000 to $500,000 a year. That's not chicken feed.
Yeah. And if you would pave that road with housing?
Oh,
would
yes.
People put housing.
Oh, well, housing, okay.
You know, it would.
And that may happen someday, but that's going to be up to the landowners in the area.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's hard to give up that farm ground.
I had the same question that Joni had. You know, I know, obviously, this isn't the first recreational area built off hard surface roads. You guys do it all the time. I just wondered, do counties, cities, developers, users fee? I mean, how do you normally get hard surface to them? I'm sure it's happened many times.
Well, it really hasn't with our major projects, because
most of them are internal, right?
They're right around the Omaha metropolitan area, and we can't keep up with development as far as buildings. I don't know if you get down to the west side of Omaha.
No, I've seen it. I know.
You know, the other project that we own that would be comparable to this is, you know, we own Summit Lake. They've tried for years to get that hard surface out to there. I don't know where they're. Did they get?
Working on the state road right now.
Right. And we've always pretty much said we built the project. We really haven't.
Where's this at again? Tell me. Summit?
Kama.
Kama.
How about Wahoo? But that's
not our NID.
That was all highway.
Okay. That was the commission.
So, this Summit, how far is it off the beaten path?
A mile.
So they're facing about the same thing that we...
Mile over.
Yeah, we're just about right there, too, you know, with everything.
Yeah, theirs is pretty flat.
It was built in the 80s.
Is that right?
Probably, yeah. Some of the late 80s.
Yeah, late 70s.
Yeah.
Has it hurt their attendance at the...
It's a flat road.
Well, that's what he said. It's a flat road.
It's a better road than M Avenue by far.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the big challenge is the topography. I mean, it's just a challenge.
How does your Potter Creek, how does that fare out there?
Potter Creek? That's Lewis and Clark.
That's Lewis and Clark. Well, that's
they turned it back to them, didn't they? Lewis and Clark.
Well, kind of. It's... We have a temporary lease with our wildlife division to manage it as a wildlife area, so, but it's not a recreation area.
Okay.
But I think, I like what Fred said, I think you need to get at least do some preliminary engineering so we know pretty darn good estimates on, okay, it needs to be 30 feet wide or 32, we need to change the grade or not, and so we have some dollar figures, because if people are going to consider any sort of funds, this we have to know what we're talking about. I mean,
you going to split the cost with us for an engineer? John will go along with that, won't he?
I would suggest that you see what Hubbard has done with engineering, and maybe.
Do we know what they've done?
I don't know how much they've done. I mean, because I do think. For taxpayers, if we could do this all as one project, it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes sense.
You know, so it's unfortunate that we don't have a member of the Village of Hubbard Board here today to kind of be in this, but I know I've talked with Jason quite a bit about what they have going on. So
how's that conversation gone for you?
It's been okay. I mean, you know, it's...
Exhausting. I like Jason.
You know, Scott, my philosophy is a person who represents,
a great guy.
Represents the NRD is I don't mind you asking me a question as long as you don't mind you know.
Listen, I hear it a lot, okay? I don't have a problem with that. So, I hear it at home and I hear it here.
Amen.
Okay, right on. You feel my pain?
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I think the NRD is at. We want to see this done to make this a more user-friendly project. It'll only benefit the people that visit the park, but it's going to benefit the people that live out in the area that, you know, may not go to the park on a regular basis. But that road, it's a sign of God.
It's a luck of the draw.
Toll road.
You know, toll road.
Well, there you go. We can put a little kiosk up for you, Bill, if you can work the
boat. Trudy, go ahead. What do you got there?
I had two thoughts. One was it's also a safety issue because the recreation people, I'm one of them, but a lot of recreation people don't really know how to drive the best. And when they're meeting all these combines, semis, and there's the washboard, they go in the center of the road or to the left to avoid it. And then here comes a truck over the hill, and they know the roads, and they know what they're doing, but they can't get out of the way. And at some point, I'm afraid there's going to be an accident at the peak of the hill because of the high level of traffic. My other thought was, if you get it paved, then those operators that were working for the county on that on a basis, they're there all the time trying to maintain and get those washboards as good as possible, they could be utilized at other places in the county.
Oh, absolutely. And we've thought of that.
Yeah. Save the county money in the long run there.
How much money? What do we figure a mile? I mean, I forget what the dollar amount is or what we figure that it costs us. Depend upon the road, obviously. Depend upon Mother Nature. There's a lot of variables in there.
Yes.
You know, a lot of variables. You know, traffic, weather. Time of year, there's a lot of
gravel.
Yep. Yeah, our gravel budget's pretty steep. And again, I wish it would freeze right now.
Well, backing up to what Terry said, too, at the NRD, I talked to John today on the phone just before I got here, and he says they're willing to do something, but they need to know the cost, and that's what Terry is saying, too. We got to have something, and I'm suggesting to get it in budgets, it's the only way it's going to get done,
yeah.
And you got to do that a year or two ahead of time. And just so that we're thinking about it and can get it going, that's the important thing. Because I think it's wanted by everybody, and I think the benefits are there for the county and for everyone. Before I forget it, Fred over there built the road over here going through this new plant here in Dakota City, a different subject. He did a great job on that road. That is a
what road was that, Beth?
From my place going to the river. The
oh, yeah.
I never thought they'd be able to do it, but those guys did a great job on that.
We made a good deal there.
You did.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, anybody with any last thoughts, I guess? I think I kind of know where we stand. We're going to have Fred get with, I don't know if we get with Jason and find out who their engineers are. Or
Interlocal. Jeannie said they don't have one yet.
No?
No. They're going to get that
after. So they're just, the $672,000, they're just kind of pulling that out of their hat?
I don't know where that figure came from. Because they tried it 2 years ago and they had engineer work on it then. That may be the figure from that. But,
do you know where they came up with the 32 feet, Jeannie?
No.
For width? I mean.
They did have an engineer a couple of years ago look at it.
I thought that was an engineer.
To me, that's a little overkill there. Jason was, when we talked to him last time, he said something about an engineer.
Maybe it's going to be an airline, a strip.
I thought his number was lower than this.
Well, I went back and looked in my notes and listened to the audio. And
well, I would just say, let's just, we'll
north and south of the highway. That's all the M Avenue and Main Street in Hubbard is what.
Yeah.
And 32 foot, and the depth was nine.
I think what I've been heard from all the people around this table, it is what Fred make a good point. You know, I mean, engineering has got to be start with it. So who knows? Maybe they not even this. You know, let us do that. I mean, I think if they will, but it's number one. Number two, who's going to pay for the engineer? I mean, it is. I mean, it is. And I think Benny brought up a good point as well as Jim, you know, the revenue is going to create. I mean, let's think about it. Let's think positive. You know, what happened after the thing is done, you know. I mean, it's going to be the benefit of the county, benefit the community, benefit to everybody. But the truth of the matter is, we got to get to work. We got to get what we need to be done, and engineer the answer, and find out and see where we got to go from here.
Is it possible to get an estimate, engineer's estimate, without going to the expense of a full
money?
I don't think that's possible, is it, Fred? To give it, yeah.
I mean, a ballpark.
And I don't know. Maybe Bill could back me on this here. I think our best. You know, like I said, get with the Steve Harris and have him go out there and look at it.
Steve Harris has his own engineer. He could give us really Florida. Really
right, and I think that'd be the ticket. And that's kind of what we talked about on Friday. We wanted to try to get a hold of Stevie Jr. I'm sure Steve Sr.'s gone by now, but and let him go out there and look at it. And that's the reason why we were so under budget when we did the C Avenue. You know, meaning we were under budget because of the fact that who wasn't paying those big engineer fees, you know, because they get expensive.
You know, I forget what Steve did to work at Cook City this summer, and he was way under the engineer's estimate.
They actually did additional paving because they were so far under.
Yeah. So if I could get done to be doing paving, because it was like 70% maybe.
But we don't know where we're at, but like with the NRD, until they have a better figure, they don't really want to say. I guess it just takes. We got to keep working on it, and
absolutely. And I think that's what we need to do. I think maybe if Bill would maybe try to get. I mean, your neighbor's kind of with him down there. If you talk to him and ask him.
Sure.
I know he's my cousin, but you got a better contact with him.
Let's try that before we spend any money on the engineer. Maybe we need to be involved.
No. But we will though, right? Can you contact him and have him
take it?
Maybe Fred can do that. Maybe you can contact him and let him know that we've all met as a group and we need a kind of a rough figure so we know where everybody's at. Why don't you handle that, would you please, Fred?
Yes.
And then I would
the
just...
The first thing I want to do is to see if any of the grade's got to be changed.
Right.
What we do for width, somebody might 132 feet, might go down to 30, 26, whatever. I think on Fitter Creek, that's all 26.
Is that?
I see nothing.
I think that's
satisfactory.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go from a gravel road, you know, with a crown, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got a concrete road, you know, I mean, anything's going to look better than a dirt road. And if it's 26, that what Steve's done out there, and it's done right.
Yeah, I've done great, and it's posted 35 mile an hour. That helps too, and you can do the same thing on this road.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody with any last thoughts here? So we got a game plan. I would just stay tuned to your emails, I guess. And once we get a number, you know, we'll get with Joan and she can send it out to everyone. And then we can kind of, you know, figure out when we can reconvene and meet up again. And I don't know. I know everybody's years are. You guys are at the end of June as well.
June 30th.
Yep. Okay.
Janie, I want to know if the estimate is going to go ahead, if the board has to vote to get an estimate. Can it be stated that a rough estimate is going to be gotten on the engineering, or does the board have to, when the board convenes, are they going to have to vote on it?
No, we can go ahead.
We can go ahead and put that in? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Didn't want to quote something that wasn't right.
No, we're not, you know, this won't cost anything.
I thought all news was fake news.
Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thank you, guys. Okay, well, good enough. Thank you, everyone. Listen, we're going to recess at our board regular board meeting. We'll start at 3:02, I think. It's 2:21. Thank you, Tony, for coming. It's a pleasure.
I think it's absolutely a worthwhile endeavor. I mean, the statistics and stuff that I see on the recreational
track. I possibly look forward to doing it anymore, even if it's viable.
Not kayaking, equestrian use, hunting, fishing. Yeah.
That's the way the world's done.
Start the Dakota County Board of Equalization. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm just really not for sure what kind of shirt.
Okay, it is 3:01, and Joan, can you call roll?
Kevin?
Here.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll start with the consent agenda items. And that is the approval of the previous minutes for October 9th of 2017.
So moved.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. On to new business, the board to review property valuation protests, corrected parcels, considering all papers relating to this, and may make an order recommended by the referee or any other order and judgment of the board. And hear the protest anew, need be. Jeff?
Oh, excuse me. Okay. Thank you. That's on the board for years, Marty.
201-227. You must be my half to F. Yeah. Hearing aid claims coming up.
Oh, there's more.
It can't be me. I'm here. I'm innocent.
Well, you're here.
Yeah, well,
that's a lot to do with it. All right, guys, this is for one of our clerical errors, I think. We put out new values. We approved previously during the June and July time frame. They had a second wave of protests. This particular one came in. And this is for a parcel down on the river. It has 10.46 acres associated with it. And it's a double wide on the block foundation. So what you'll see on that first page is what we have it at now, which is the same as that the assessor had for 17. And then the opinion of value is we brought the guy in and talked with him and then went out there and re-reviewed his property. And that is what we would recommend that we would change it down to.
The 196, 195?
Yep.
How come this kind of stuff don't happen to me? I don't get it. Everybody else gets all that break. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember. No, I've never gotten a Christmas card from you, so yeah. I think
there you go. I'll take you down to exit 42, and I'll be paying no tax on Chicken House or whatever they call it. Way off.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, what you're going to find behind it is the evidence we take into consideration. So you'll find some 16 and 17 pictures from when we went back out there. The big thing with his is he had a part of that front acreage off the river. There was an old tree dump out there, and some other stuff got dumped out there like any other dump. So when you go out there, you take his backhoe and put a hole in the ground, you're going to grab something metal, not a tree. And so he can't really do anything with it. He can't even put in a foundation. So that was his information he gave to us. So when we went out there, what we do is then we track the power and the utilities that go to the property to see if they buried anything under it, which would then contradict that. And everything was buried right to his property line. Everything else is up on poles. Really? And then, so we went back through it, and they said, yeah, they couldn't. It would take too long to dig it and run it underground, phone all of it. They actually had to put it up on the poles because there's too much garbage. For about the first, I forget how many feet it was, but it leaves about 3.46 acres we're going to leave alone. We're going to leave it at whatever neighborhood 29 is.
This is the house when you drive down the interstate and you look over in the summertime and you see you're on the river and you see the bird lit up. Is that right?
Yeah, and he's got a dock. There's always a dock right there on the river next to the... Yeah, but it's a double wide up on a foundation.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, which is why his trailer made it, because the water... If you look, you'll see some aerial photos. We wanted to see if that land ever grew anything, too, to see where we put the value add on it. And his whole lot got wiped out, but his house just sits up on those blocks.
Those stilts, yeah.
Yeah, but so we went back through there and we said, well, it still can grow grass, right? So it's worth what grass is worth. So we put him at $2,000 for 7 acres, left the other stuff alone.
I think these are the people that were trying to stay in their house, if I remember right.
I think he did. Jerry wanted to. Yeah.
And they stayed in it while the water was up, and I think they had to go out and evict them because of the...
He was going
back and forth with the boat, I think.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Right.
Because it was going through his brick on the bottom, but not hitting his house. But then you get stuck out there. The water went clear back to the road. So that's what we did. We recommend adjusting those 7 acres, leaving the 3.4 alone. That's what they are. It's on the river. It's got full riverfront views. The back 7, he can't even plant it. So he needs to grow grass and cut it, if you wanted to. So we put it at a low grass value. And then his trailer, we put his condition at 30 average with what everybody else was. And that's what we found on the site inspection. And you'll see the back end of those documents I gave you guys. That's all the sales, all the sales out there along the river. All my sales analysis and stats are on those first three spreadsheets. You can kind of see where we're at with what that stuff's selling for, where he's at. And we use all that information to come up with kind of our recommendation.
So that's your recommendation?
Yeah, that's my recommendation. Yep. We only had the one, so we didn't think it'd be, why hire, pay those guys.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then you guys can do what you will with it. I mean, if you want to wait and just review all that stuff, if you have any questions for me, we can do it. Or if you want to vote, it's up to you guys. I put a lot of data out there for you to kind of peruse through. But at least that way you got some information.
So all this paperwork I'm looking at, we're just doing the one and that's it today?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what we go through. And what you're holding...
Okay, I'm going to make a motion. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to get going here. I want to make a motion to accept your recommendation on Sponder at 196,195, correct?
Yes.
196,195. That's my motion.
Yep, that's your new number.
Second.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott? Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Dumb.
All right, that was it for new business. On to mail and or emergency business. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Thank you.
No mail, no emergency. Public comment for Board of Equalization.
Zero.
No. All right, then we will adjourn at 3:08.
Okay, so we're going to go into back into the board of the commissioners. It's 3:08, like 3:09 now. Anyways, we went into recess because we had a meeting prior, a roundtable discussion with some people on some painting projects. So I need a motion to come out of recess.
I'll second that.
Okay, got a motion by Kevin and a second by Marty. Call roll on that, please, Joan.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, consent agenda items. I don't need you the current copy, right? Done, been there, done that. Consent agenda items, we got the approval of the previous minutes, October 23rd, 2017, and the approval of the payroll claims. And if there's any accounts payable, I went through three quarters, maybe half, and Bill went through the other half here. So everything's in order with the consent agenda items. So... You got a motion by Tony and a second by, you looked at, give me that nod, didn't you?
So moved to approve the consent
agenda. All right,
thank
you.
From A to C.
Got a motion by Tony?
Second.
A second by Bill. Will you call roll, please? I thought you gave me the nod. I'm sorry.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, new business. The board to accept or not to accept the offer from NERMA regarding the total damages claim for the 2000 Mack HC613 truck. That happened a few weeks back with Kevin Chambers, and it is totaled. Everybody has. I don't know if we wanted to buy it back. I talked to him, I think, and Fred talked to him. We were not interested, but they were going to net us after we pay our $2,500 deductible of $36,500.
Seems like very good money.
Yeah.
I thought it was definitely fair. So... I know we talked about this at our last meeting, but it has to be approved by us for them to send us a check. So, with that said, $36,500, everybody's good with it? I think it's fair. I need a motion to accept it, and they will write us a check.
That's my motion.
Okay, Bill, got a motion and a second by Tony. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, call roll, please, Joan. Thank you.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, B, we have the approval on a voting delegate, an alternate to cast a ballot of Dakota County at the Nebraska Association of County Officials, better known as NACO. Annual meeting held December 15, 2017 in Kearney. The ballot for the purpose is electing a secretary treasurer to the NACO board. So, who is going to that? Anyone, anyone? Do we get any takers?
The chair.
Fred Kellogg.
He's always the guy. I love that guy. He's always for us, man. You are... You're like wingman. You're like Goose or Maverick or whichever one.
Goose dies. Oh,
God.
Johnson.
You call it a wingman?
Bob Giese is.
Goose.
Bob Giese. Bill Silvermeyer.
So pretty much all the elected officials are pretty much going.
Are you going, Ken?
Chris isn't.
Sheriff, are you going to be there? Probably not. Did you say probably?
Probably.
I tell you what, this is what I would do. I would like to make a motion to, I would like to delegate Bob Giese to be the delegate for the ballot for Dakota County. The alternate will be Fred Chalak, please.
Fine.
You okay with that?
Yes.
I can change that if you want me to.
Fine with it.
Let's do Phyllis Obermeyer. I'll do Phyllis Obermeyer. We'll do Phyllis Obermeyer. So I want to make a motion that Bob Giese be the delegate, and then we'll have Phyllis Obermeyer do the, let's do that. Problem solved. Everybody okay with that? Fred's done it for us so many times.
Yeah.
You know, really.
Did a fine job.
So that's your motion?
That's my motion.
You second it.
We call Rose, please, John. It's motion by myself, second by Tony. To have Bob.
Bill.
Phyllis.
Yes.
Scott.
I don't know what I'm voting on.
I don't know what I'm even saying.
The NACO delegate.
He knows what he's
okay.
Thank you.
So, Scott.
Yes.
Okay. Bill.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
I'm just trying to make friends is all I'm trying to do here today.
I know you do.
Miscellaneous, we got Fred Kellogg, the highway superintendent, to give us his road report. Fred?
October 22nd through November 4th, 237 hours of total road maintenance, 11 hours of tree and debris removal, projects, 6.5 hours on Fire Hall, 31 hours M Avenue, 7 hours of garbage pickup, 805 tons of aggregate, signs and barricading, 27.5 hours, road concerns, grading M Avenue, that was a minimum maintenance part of M Avenue, and gravel Platte Road.
Okay. Platte Road. I'm not for sure where that's at.
My place.
Is it?
Is it? Just past my driveway up towards Lauren Bircher's Wiseman's Hill.
Is it?
The LAC Tower.
I see.
Yeah, okay. Simple, right?
How's Kevin Chambers? I haven't seen him for a while.
I talked to him today. He had a doctor's appointment. It looks like it's healing fine.
Yeah.
Took him off driving restrictions. He can drive, but he's not able to come back to work. They're talking about a month.
Oh, wow.
Coming back to work since he's healing. That's
probably light duty, would more than likely. Or
what's that?
Light duty, probably come back in 30 days.
He did not say. The doctor has not determined that yet.
Okay, so I went to call you today a couple different times. Would you, the pickup out here, I've had a couple people ask me if we could,
yes, sir.
Leon's old truck.
Yes, sir.
Do you have the time to do that, to pull that tire off there and get it fixed?
Yes, I just obtained the keys for Leon's stuff.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that, Fred. Thank you.
I will be moving some of his spray truck, his work truck, trailers over by the jail.
What's our intent? Are we going to keep running right out of Emerson with that? Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
At least it's moving for the winter.
Okay. Figure it out, I guess, right?
He was going to get
It's very crowded in there with the...
I understand.
Once snow equipment gets on, it's a little
crowded. I know. I've been in that building. It's...
the operator, Dean Pallas in Emerson, moved it, said brakes, needs to be serviced, isn't starting right. So we're going to take it to the county shed this winter. When we got time, we'll be...
Working
checking it out,
work over.
So make sure it's ready to go. Okay.
Perfect.
He was going to winterize everything on that thing.
What's that?
He was going to winterize everything, Leon, before he left.
I do not believe any spray equipment's been winterized.
Okay, so that one ton or whatever that is, we got to make sure we have that inside that building then. It's just been pulled out. Yes?
Yeah, it might be too. It'll be in the shed in Homer right now.
Okay, good.
His four-wheeler might stay in Emerson for right now.
Okay.
But his pickup will be moved out to the Hubbard shop because I'm told differently.
Okay. We'll figure it out when the time comes, but let's just at least get it out there and get it up to snuff.
His office in the basement has got some weed records that once we find.
So do we know that the next victim to go out to become a weed at? Okay, do we know who that is?
I guess you guys will have to appoint, hire.
So we need to get that on an agenda.
January.
The first. That's right, because when we do the reorg.
When we do the reorg in January.
Expressed interest.
Has anybody stressed interest on the reorg? Everybody, I want everybody to think real quick about this for the chair position. Okay, I want everybody to think about that as well. On top of the weed superintendent.
I've already
okay.
We haven't discussed that yet.
Well, we better start discussing that. But anyways, any other questions for Fred?
I know we're down. We're going to be down one operator. Scott Jorgensen is leaving. A blade operator.
Scott Jorgensen, is he gone now, Fred?
Yes,
he's gone.
We didn't get any applications except. I had a former employee that we laid off show interest in coming back to.
You have not done anything with that yet, right?
I called him this morning and see if he was still interested. He said yes.
Okay.
He was going to give his current employee 2 weeks. So I took the initiative to go ahead and hire him since I didn't have any other applicants. Because I
who was that?
Do not want an empty seat this winter.
Who was that?
Phil Hunt.
Ah, okay.
He only worked for us for 6 or 8 months or so before we did the layoffs. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So the back to Bill's question.
Well, my question was going to be, can we get by? I know we did it before with 6 blades. Will we suffer because of it?
Go from 7 to 6 again. Remember how we did that a few years back? Mm-hmm. Sold the oldest one that we had. And then we got back on track again with the 7. So Bill's question is it possible not to fill that seat and be able to get by?
6.
Go from 7 to 6. So, you know, and it's a simple answer. It's either yes or no.
Anything's possible. Yes.
Okay. Will we suffer?
Less service is all you're getting.
I know. Yeah, so we will suffer, you think.
Yes, it didn't. To be, in my opinion, it did not work out well for us last time.
Well, you know,
and winter time is the toughest time to try it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, everybody, is he satisfied with that, Bill?
Yeah, I got the children's email the other day. I kind of a little crazy here, thinking, how can we cut more money? But yeah, it's. We've had a room full of people here talking about roads before. Bad roads. We haven't had for a while, obviously. We spent some money, got some good equipment, spent a lot of money on gravel, and the room's empty. So, yeah, when you start cutting those services, things are going to show up again, I'm sure. So
yes.
That was my question.
Okay.
Good answer. Thank you.
I mean, I'm still down 2 originally I was a year ago.
I know.
And I'd hate to go down another guy, and I've still got a mechanic that's out for another month. So I'm right at the...
Hey, if anybody cut and did what they were asked to do, okay, it was you.
You did.
You did more than deserved, and especially for such a high-profile job. I mean, seriously, I don't care what anybody, when you got 400 miles of roads, you know, like I said, you got every eye on you. I mean, you're out. It doesn't matter. Everybody's watching you. Okay, thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, let's go to. We're going to move on to Sheriff Kleinberg, the jail report. Sheriff, good day to you.
Good day, folks. So, month of October, kind of inmates average around 109 federal juveniles, one little over one. 2017 inmates per day average 95.27 juveniles, and fiscal. Average 97 for the 17 to 18. The 2017 federal contracts, we brought in 189,179. Other county contracts 4,000, and fiscal contracts for 17 to 18, 23,000. So the good part is here, finally for the month of October, we got back down into the cost of inmate per day is $47.90. So we dropped that down $20 in 1 month. Jail spent $164,000 in the month of October, 33% of the total estimated yearly budget, which is right at where we're supposed to be. It was 35% of the total estimated yearly budget for October, and the jail spent $26,000 less than allotted for October, which is 14% under budget. So those are pretty good numbers for the month of October anyway. Just hope we can stay on that $47 a day inmate cost. That'll be good. And I know why we went up so drastically in September. We missed
that's huge.
A power bill. And Michelle went back over that, and there was a power bill that wasn't paid, so we had to put that in that month, so that sent us up, and we had a couple miscellaneous doctor.
Three pay periods.
You're right, three pay periods. So that's what put us up so high, and because we were doing good. We got it down into the 50s. I've never seen it at the 4790, though, so we're doing real good, and we're not losing inmates. We're still staying at 100-some inmates. We're just bringing in a little more with the ice holes. It brings a little extra money and kind of helps offset the costs there.
Any other questions?
I don't have no questions, but I'll volunteer for the week.
We did.
Hey, and listen, just a little advice, okay? And I know it's the no shade thing going on, but it ain't doing it for you.
Right? I know.
I'm just being honest with you. Okay, so take it whatever it's worth, but thank you for your report.
Hey, Sheriff.
Thank you, Kevin. You're a good deputy.
Sheriff, is there a work release program at all?
Yes, there is.
You know, how many people are in that?
Right now, I think we probably got two or three. You know, we average four or five. We do pretty good.
Is it more that people don't have jobs or that the judges don't really like putting people in that program?
Well, recently we had an eight-hour order. They can only be gone for 8 hours. That got rid of quite a bit, because if you got to travel at all, 8 hours isn't enough. You know, if you're working an eight-hour shift, if you're working out at Tyson, there's no way you could do.
When did that change to 8 hours?
Oh, it's been about 4 or 5 months ago.
Was that a decision made by the...
I don't know where it came from. It just came down from the court. I just listen to what the judge says. So
is that 7 days a week?
It's just 8 hours. No more than 8 hours they can be gone. And it came from the court. So
it's from the county
why
court.
I don't huh? I have
county
no
court
idea.
Or district court?
County court.
Yeah,
I won't do house arrest for felonies. District court handles felonies, so we don't do house arrest. Work release.
Do you have any idea why they made that decision?
Why?
But you were aware that they made it to 8 hours.
So anyway, that cut out some of that income with being gone longer than 8 hours. Because I can't go to work and be back home in 8 hours.
No. That makes sense.
It doesn't make sense.
No. You've got to be a farmer.
Thanks.
You've got to be a farmer.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to be a farmer.
It would be a week or two you'd do anything.
Okay. It's only 6 hours a day, but that is a full 3 days a week.
The only really busy guy planting the park is in
the okay. We're going to move on to C. We're going to approve resolution 17C-028, declare personal property as a surplus property, which is, you guys probably seen Paula Jensen retired. And her wish is to purchase her robe, which she purchased the robe for, was it 20-some dollars, is that right?
25.
So anyways, we just need, we wish her the best, and she wanted her robe, so she bought her robe. So we just need somebody to make a motion to approve this 17C028 for her to be able to take her robe with her.
It's my motion.
Okay, we got a motion by Tony.
I'd second it.
And a second by Marty. We call roll, please, Joan.
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Committee reports. Anyone? Anything happening? Probably next time around. Usually, yeah, I think we have some quarterly stuff coming up, Tony, but...
We
want
a meeting next month.
Do we? I think so. But anyways, okay, there is none there. We'll go to mail or emergency business, and we have a letter regarding the maintenance of the roads by private citizens. I don't think I need to read it. I think that I read it via email, and I have it in front of me. It was just basically a letter that was referring back to Mr. Lux when he was out there trying to do some repairs, and I think we got it squared away. Kim wrote a letter and copied with Joan and Fred, and I think everything's good. Mm-hmm. So, any questions on that or concerns? Or
do you want to send it, or do you want to wait until he does it again?
Never mind, advice to wait since Fred talked to him. So,
Let's wait.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, I guess I didn't. I thought it was in the process. I guess I didn't know any better.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to him about it.
I think a lot of people have talked to him about it, and I think he even made the comment, correct me if I'm wrong, I get it. I don't need a letter.
Well, yeah. I don't think he'll do it again. And I don't, yeah. I asked you, because I asked him, and I like this last paragraph you put in here, if we do need to send it someday, but I said, would you like to do it to no charge to the county and sign an agreement with us? You can do it all the time. We'll gravel it, and you maintain it. No, I don't want to do it. So.
Is this the new letter that was adjusted by Norma's attorneys?
Yeah.
Okay. I read it online, how they...
I think you're just going to upset him if you send it.
Yeah, right. I'm okay with that. As long as, you know, we just don't want to put him in jeopardy or us in jeopardy. And I think...
I don't think he'll do it. You've read...
I think as long as we have documentation, I sent Kim an email that I talked to him, so there's documentation, date, and time that he was talked to about it. Continues, we'll go in.
Pretty simple then. Yeah, okay, we got that clarified. Everybody okay with that? Okay, let's move on to public comment. Anybody from the public would like to have a comment? Will you stand up to the podium, please, and state your name and address, if you would, please, for the record?
My name is Carmen Stark, and I live at 325 Regency Court in South Sioux City, Dakota County, Nebraska. I came today because I want to be put on the record on an issue that's happening in our county where Sheriff Kleinberg has applied, and I'm assuming it's just through your office, for a 287G program application, which is a program that would basically deputize and train our county employees to become ICE, an extension of immigration. And I want to be put on the record as being opposed to that, and that there's a lot of problems that could arise because of that kind of designation. I'm a person who, once I hear something, I try to do some research, because there's always two sides to things. And I know there's different perspectives, and I'm sure that Sheriff Kleinberg and I have different perspectives on this because of his job and also because of where I am and what I do in my community. I was visiting a little bit to see things pretty black and white, and I tend to be a person who tries to look at the human side. Not that you don't, that he doesn't, but there's a lot of things. This having our Sheriff's Department as people who would enforce immigration, the research has shown that there's a lot of very nonviolent criminals that get caught up in this. When they researched a lot of the departments that do this, there are like thousands and thousands of counties all over, and like 60 people have applied. There's like 60. And we would be the very first one in the whole state of Nebraska. We would be the only one, and we'd be almost the only one in the Midwest that would do this. But it's almost all the people that get caught up in this are nonviolent. They've maybe been arrested for a traffic violation or something like that. And what I see about that is that you get your family man who's here, maybe didn't have the paperwork filled out to be here. And I don't like the word illegal. I always say undocumented, because it's basically a paperwork issue and that sort of thing. But you get that person who's been working hard in our county for maybe 20 years and makes a mistake of some sort. It can be something fairly minor. And now they're in our criminal justice system and deported. They could be deported, leaving their kids behind, their family behind, and all the good work that they've done over those years. So the research does show that almost all, a half of the people that actually are detained are nonviolent criminals. Another thing is, in some places, and I'm not saying this would happen here, but racial profiling can really happen with this kind of thing. You know, if I get stopped for a traffic violation, is somebody going to ask me for my immigration papers? Probably not. What's your status, Mrs. Stark? Probably not. But if you got brown skin, it could become part of the questioning process. And I don't think I want to live in a county, and I know a lot of citizens would rather not live in a county where people who are non-white you know, even if it's unintended, feel like they have to fear our police, you know, because they might get asked. Another thing, offshoot of all that is that it also could create an issue of non-cooperation with our police. People who are undocumented and who know of criminal activity may not call the police. They may not call the police, and that the information that could be gained from a lot of the people who live in our county would just be lost. And I think that would be a problem, because we need to have that cooperation, and we need to have people not be unwilling to call the police if they need them, regardless of their status, because in our county we take care of everybody, right? I mean, I would hope so. Another thing that in my research, I mean, I was visiting with Chris a little bit ahead of time, and he said it would make the county money, but I'm not finding that, so maybe I would need to do more. But in the information that I have from, and it's from a nonpartisan research organization, the Immigration Council, that it would be costly for our county. And as a citizen of this county, I just am concerned that we would be using our resources in the wrong place. I just think I would encourage and hope that this could be a conversation that you have. I know the impression I'm getting is that you don't really have any say over this as a commission, of whether that application is there or not, that that's the sheriff's department's decision. But the reason I want to be put on record and to is just to encourage you to do some research and have those conversations with Sheriff Kleinberg, to try to encourage him to withdraw the application. It's just not something that in this county I believe is necessary. And it's not just me. You know, I came because I'm like not, I'm just, you know me. A lot of you know me, you know, and you know that I feel pretty strongly about families and keeping people together and helping immigrants and not having them live in fear. So that's my spiel.
Well said.
Okay.
Well said. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Anybody else with public comment?
I would like to have Chris to give us a little bit of his thoughts or his thinking about the situation. And the reason that I put you on the spot, because I've been having several phone calls from the community myself. I don't know the rest of the commissioners, because some guy by the name Ismael Valadez, he put up on the Facebook about try and encourage people to contact the Board of Commissioners to exactly what you say, is trying to convince Sheriff not to join in this venture, the 287G. I would say probably had close to 100 phone calls, 10 emails. Some of them not very pretty in reality, but can you tell us?
Sure, yeah, I was going to ask, that was maybe next, come up with you. Absolutely, want to hear.
Okay, first of all, I'm a little upset. I didn't say it would make us money. I said, you said it would cost us a bunch of money, and no, it's not going to cost
okay.
us any money.
Yeah, I misunderstood.
This really has nothing to do also with skin color and racial profiling. State of Nebraska, we do what we call racial profiling. We have to fill. As a matter of fact, this started when I was working down south. It was supposed to be a temporary thing because the tribe said the same thing. We're pulling them over more than anybody else. The facts are that's not true. Here, skin color is irrelevant. It has nothing to do with skin color. If you don't break the law and you're not documented here to be here legally, then there's no issue. That's not an issue. It's when you violate the law, whether you're on here across the border, you're legally, and you're not here as a citizen of the United States, you're here on a work visa, or you're here as a refugee. If you break the law and come in contact with law enforcement, that's what happens. You get deported, period. We already do that, whether we go through the 287G contract or not. That's already the case. It has nothing to do with me doing this contract. So, Tony, you're right. A lot of people have gotten all this blown out of proportion, and it really isn't. There's really nothing going to change. There's only going to be two or three of us that are even able to go to this training and get it. The training is more for understanding of what immigration is rather than There is no mechanism for us to go out in a paddy wagon like the 70s and start rounding people up. That's impossible. That we can't even do that. That's not what this is about. So what this does is protect our jail when I'm housing, because you guys know that I've got an ICE hold contract on top of, we put it right with our U.S. Marshals contract, and that's for empty bed space. We can bring in revenue to the county, and I just read you the stats, what is bringing to the county. So with that being in hand, that just falls in hand with having some of my employees know what these laws are, so we're protected against any type of outside entity that wants to come in and sue the county or sue me myself, which I'm already getting those letters. So as far as backing out of this 287G contract, I will put my badge on the table and resign before I back out of that. So I got nothing else to say unless you got questions.
One question. I visited with Chief Police, Ms. Mahon, on Friday at the coffee hour. And I think I asked you this before, and you stay it the same way. He told me that's Friday. He says, Tony, we're here to protect the community. We're not here after the people. This is not our job. It's a nice job. Anybody break the law is going to pay the consequences. But we're not going to be after them. And I think for me, it would be a relief if there would be some kind of information that, because you're not going to be after, when your deputies or yourself to stop somebody, instead of asking for driver license, you're not going to say, where did your green card? Right?
Has nothing to, we don't do that
exactly,
now.
Exactly. I understand it.
That's propaganda that gets built up.
They don't understand that. And I told them that. I said, you know what? I visited with the sheriff, which is I called you. Mm-hmm. We visited over the phone, and I talked to the chief of police. He told me the same thing, and I said, you know, I think that's a misunderstanding. And as far as making money, it is true. I mean, that we contract inmates from ICE. It's not necessarily the deputies or the PDs in South Sioux City pick them up because they're illegal. No, they bring them from somewhere else.
Transport them.
When the county needs money, we make money. And if you had an empty bed, we house those inmates for them, but it's not necessarily that we or they go after the people themselves. So, you know, believe me, that was, I don't take it as a headache, because I learned through the years that I've been on the Board of Commissioners, I almost had a mini stroke, you know, 2-3 years ago, because the headaches, and I don't let it bother me anymore. So I tell them, you know, I don't know anything about it. I just got back from my vacation. You know, I was down in Mexico for 2 weeks, and let me get more information. But I guarantee you that for law enforcement in this area, it's not going to be stopping brown people of my skin and asking for green papers, for a green card. You know, it's not going to happen. And if that happens, I resign as a county commissioner. You know, because I had nothing to do, and we don't have any power over the sheriff department ourselves. You know, the our job is give them the money, we budget the money for all the departments in the county, and we give them the budget about the money that he deserves, he allowed to have. And yeah, if he go over the budget, we kind of look into and see what's going on, and vice versa, if he go under the budget, and well, we like to hear that. So he reported back to us. So it is, I wish people understand that it's misunderstanding. It is not really the, go ahead.
Okay, so because information is good. You know, you can always learn more about any situation. We know that. Here's my question. Out of all the people, the jurisdictions, the departments, everything that could apply for this status or this ability, whatever you want to call it, training, why do so few do it then? I mean, why are there so few? Because there must be, I mean, from what I'm seeing, it does create some issues and some problems. Now, I would take Sheriff Kleinberg and his word to say, we're not going to do this. We're not going to be racial profiling. We're not going to be, and I would hope, you know, that our county didn't turn into a place where immigrants needed to be worried about the police. But I just think that that could be an option. There's so many. I mean, if this was such a great deal, wouldn't more people be doing it?
I can't speak for other shares. I don't know anything about a great deal. I'm not saying it's a great deal. I really don't. It's irrelevant to whether I do it or not.
Uh-huh.
What I'm trying to explain to the board is we do it now. This is only going to allow us to know what the laws are a little better, and it's going to protect the county against outside groups that come in and try to file one frivolous lawsuit on this county. You know what that costs us. And that's what they are. And I was at the Sheriff's Association convention a couple weeks ago, and there are sheriffs that are in this, dealing with this right now, on flat broke.
So this
has nothing to do with the propaganda that's being spread about it. This is solely and simply has to do with having the power to do what we already do. When we, as far as racial profiling, it's got nothing to do with skin color. I mean, you can be a Canadian here illegally, and you get arrested and go to the jail. Your prints are still going to go on APHIS, and you're still going to go into immigration. And if you're a Canadian and you're as white as a snowflake, they're still going to come and deport you. Period. It doesn't matter if you're from Mexico, Canada, Germany, Switzerland, or Kenya. That's irrelevant to it. It has nothing to do with it.
By the sheriff being able to take him and a couple of guys, they're getting the training, you know, and as you know, as an educator, that's very important, so they know exactly what they are doing. And I'd say the reason why, just speaking out of my own head, you know, just a lot of communities don't have the makeup of our community, so it wouldn't apply to them, you know, wouldn't apply to them very much. You know, you go out to central Nebraska where you might not have, you know, the diversity that we have, it probably wouldn't, you know, make sense for them to do that. That's just my own thought.
My obligation is a lot has to do with what I've told the board in the past with this jail. I would like to keep paying people in our jail rather than local people. I would rather see that income and that revenue come into the jail rather than tell the federal government, no, we're not keeping it, have them other counties like Hall County, who basically funds everything they got with their federal inmates, whether they be marshals, whether they be overrun from the state penitentiary, or whether they be ICE inmates. I don't care. I'm talking about renting out that empty space, and any business person knows we spent the money on this jail. Let's keep the beds full, and if we can put people in there that bring revenue into the county to offset these costs, why not do it? That's my only purpose. The 280, I don't know where she got her information. It must have been Google.
Well, I read quite a bit.
And I, actually, to be quite honest with you, I didn't even write the contract. My chief deputy did. He probably knows every specific word in the thing. I don't. I know generalized. So if there's nothing else, Tony, it's just what I told you Friday. This is just, and I'm happy to sit down and talk to any of these groups, no matter what nationality or religion they are. It doesn't matter to me.
You know, everybody says Google knows everything. You can pull up Google, and you can get 20 different answers.
Exactly, and 98% of it's BS. So,
well, yeah. And the main thing that when I read things, I mean, I always look for nonpartisan sites and also research-based sites that actually quote, you know, that it's not just opinions, because we all have our own opinions and our own feelings about things, and we can find stuff to match our opinion really easy.
So I'm sure I went over my 3 minutes,
right.
But
let me start. You feel more comfortable now? It's happy where, I mean, not comfortable, but at least you more informed now.
I feel like one of the key pieces of all of this, because, yes, I will want to learn more myself, but I think it's going to be very, very important as it moves forward. If, as you say, you know, you're going to do this, that the communication with the Hispanic community, with all of the people that will have some fear, because it's, you know, maybe it's propaganda, maybe it's not, maybe it's real stuff, but that communication and the purpose needs to be clear.
Sure. Really clear. I'll say right now, if you're not in this country legally, don't break the law. You'll probably never know me. Period.
When did you sign this contract?
It's an application. Actually, it hasn't been accepted. We don't even know until
a week ago, a month ago. Yeah. I just heard about it today when she was at the podium.
6 months ago, I remember telling you guys about it.
He brought it to the board. Yeah.
Well, okay, the application has been submitted. We don't even know where we stand at with it. Like Sheriff said, it's in place now. It's just a little bit more of a formality to make sure that we are protected as the liability standpoint of it. Pretty simple, right? So it's really nothing out of the ordinary.
Nope.
Okay.
What we've been doing is after, but I need to, that you spread the word, you know, if they need to talk to that guy,
right.
the sheriff or the chief of police, which is Ismael is going to meet with chief of police on Thursday.
Good.
We will have a meeting with him.
And honestly, Tony, not to interrupt, but this really has absolutely nothing to do with the police department.
Exactly. That's what I told him, but...
The police department has no interest in the jail. They have no interest in the stuff that the sheriff deals with. And it's not a sheriff's department, it's a sheriff's office.
Remember what I said before, you know, a lot of the, even not only the Latino community, all the communities in general, they don't understand the local government in reality until you get into it. It is.
He yells at me all the time.
People think the county commissioner has all the power that we can control. It is not the truth in reality. I mean, it is the truth, but it is not what the people say out there. You know, in reality, they don't interfere about it, or the law enforcement is going to be after the brown collar or the skin or whatever. It is not true. And if that happens, in my lifetime, I resign as a commissioner.
Tony, I can tell you, if I had any of my deputies going after someone by their skin color, I can guarantee you they would not be employed for me.
See?
And one of the things that I think that just moving forward, you know, that
we can talk.
There are a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people in the immigrant community who have a lot of anxiety about a lot of different things.
Right.
Just because, you know, and so this, I guess my thing is, you know, we want to be an inclusive county. We want to make sure that people know that they're welcome and that they know that the police, you know, the sheriff is there for them if they have troubles and those sort of things. And so, you know, that's the main thing. And my initial reaction as I saw this was, oh my goodness, you know, this could really.
I can see your point, not knowing, Carmen.
No. Backlash.
Absolutely.
So,
right.
Sheriff Feinberg knows that people will be watching. You know, I mean, he's got the ACLU that doesn't like this. And so, right? And so if there is anything that happens that goes wrong,
I'm a little different view on the ACLU, actually.
Is everybody good? Because this is what I'm going to do real quick here.
Anyway,
and you guys can talk, but thank you. Listen, I just want to move on because we could be here all night long. And not that I wouldn't be for you guys. I would if I needed to be. I want to point out one other thing. I want to point out one other thing. I want everybody to take a look before we're done, and before we adjourn, of the salary resolutions for county officials. Okay, I don't know if you guys, did they have that in their package, John? Okay. This is coming abroad here. The 2019-22, the count, that's where we set them for the next 4 years, okay? And anyways, if you guys want to take a look at this, maybe Joan can get you a copy, but it has all 93 counties in the beautiful state of Nebraska, and it shows every salary of what all the officials are making. And 4 years ago, you know, I went to bat and went to research and looked at valuations and looked at populations and vehicles and how many registered and all the above, and stuck my neck out and got kicked in the groins over making this decision. Well, it wasn't just me making the decision, but I took it to the board, and everybody went along with it. And it's the same thing that we always say a lot. If I could have, should have, I'd like to take it back. Okay, which once that's set, that's done and over with. But the point is I just want everybody to know what the point is, the reason why I did that, because I could give a shit less about the salary, what I'm making here, okay? The point is I want good people that want to come and sign up to be, you know, a public defender, you know, or if it's a county clerk or a commissioner, okay? Excuse my language, I didn't mean to say that. But the point is, that's the only reason why I did that, is to try to get us to get good people to take those positions, okay? So I'm letting everybody else know, I know the situation we're in. We need to come up with some kind of a dollar amount for the next 4 years. We can't do it year by year by year. once we set it, it's done. It's 4 years.
Yeah.
So I want everybody to be thinking about it. And like I said, if you want a copy, have Joan give it to you. And you can look at some of the surrounding counties, or you can look at the counties that are really comparable to us. You know, your Sarpy County, you know, Wahoo down in that area, and just see what they're making. But the problem is their valuation. Our valuation is like 1.6. Theirs is like 3.6. You know, the land, and then the people.
Did I send that email out to everybody?
Yeah. I have that.
And then I sent in.
I remember.
I did a comparison of the counties with like population. I did a comparison with the counties of like values. Our like values, the other counties with like values have half our population. The other counties with like population have twice our value.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's no way to.
Somebody should have fought for a bigger county way back when we were established. Because it is. I mean, it's a tiny county with a huge problem.
Well, it's very tiny. And then when you're bordering, you know, a population of Sioux City, Iowa of 120 some thousand in the surrounding area, or 20 or whatever it is, that hurts you.
Well, I've said that before. The Region 4 board that I'm on, I mean, there's guys that have counties that are three times the land mass of ours, and there's some that are close to equal population. I said, well, how many people do you have in jail? And he said, well, last week we had six. Or, you know, we have four. We don't have a jail. We house them at such and such, right. You know, and we have a jail.
So really, when you put a 22,000 people population on Dakota County, that's really not a legitimate number. I mean, stop and think about it. I mean, that's
three
actual residents.
That anyway.
I mean, seriously, you know what I'm saying? It's very deceiving, that number, especially with Sioux City right there. So, but anyways, I just want everybody to think about it. Because when we come, I'm not going to bat for nothing, and I can care less if it stayed zero. But at the same time, I'm not going to be around for the next 4 years either. Okay,
yeah.
I am. I got some skin cancer, and I don't think I'm going to live very long. So, but anyways,
you loved your job. Jay.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay, if that's it, no more public comments. We are out of here.
Oh,
boy. Mm-hmm. I knew it was too good to be true.
What?
3 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, Larry. Let's go. What's up? Larry Albanicious, Jackson, Nebraska.
Okay, the letter that was supposed to be delivered or sent to someone, it made reference to road maintenance. Is that correct? Or?
I don't know what you're talking about. As of yet. The Lex letter? Okay, yeah.
Okay. So how does that affect me when I grade Sawmill Road?
It probably affects you the same way.
Same way.
Yeah.
Well, I almost had to grade my Sawmill Road this past weekend. But after 3 weeks, motor grader guy came through on Friday afternoon. Now, that road really needs graded weekly. And I made that comment before.
It's a fair statement.
And Stable Drive needs it weekly. Elgin needs it weekly. 174 needs it weekly. But there was no grader operator. Now, he did get over to Marty's Road and 164th and Elgin.
And just the other day he did.
Well, he was there the week before, too, and the week before that. And the guy that used to do it all the time, I saw him the end of, not this past week, a week ago last Thursday or Friday, going like a bullet around the paved portion of Sawmill Road, headed south, wide open, high gear. Where he is going, it looked like a fire he's going to, but he's going south. It's out to 77, where I don't know where he went from there. But that's the last, that was 2 weeks ago, and that's the last I saw of him. And prior to that, he hadn't done Sawmill Road for, that was the second week that it hadn't been done. So,
okay.
I guess I almost did it this weekend, but I don't want to get arrested because Byro said he'll arrest me if I do anything illegal.
Well, and you know as well as...
have me arrested.
We just know that, you know as well as I do, and the biggest thing is if you were out there blading and somebody hit you or something, you know, it's an accounting issue. It's more of a Larry Elman issue.
Sure is. I got $5 million. So
that's what it is. Right. Well, $5 million, that could be
chewed up in a hurry. You know that. What's enough insurance?
You know better than I do.
What's that?
The $5 million. You get in the courts, you'll find out they don't reach $5 million unless you kill some bunch of kids in a school bus.
Well, you never know.
Well, now they're not going to be nice.
I don't know. It doesn't matter, but you know what the consequences are. So, well, get with Fred.
Matter of fact, how much insurance does the county have? Is it unlimited?
You know, I got to tell you something, and maybe Marty can verify this. 93 or 92% of truck lines going up and down the highway with 80,000 pounds is $1
million. Yeah.
Million what?
Liability.
That's all they're required to carry.
That's all they are required to carry. That's all they can afford.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised at that
at all. Yeah. And you know the funny thing is, my rinky-dink business up here on the avenue, I carry three.
Well, you should.
Absolutely, just because if something happens, I want to make sure that, you know, somebody's taken care of.
You might run down and burn all the neighbors down, too.
Whatever.
I'm sure we'd give the same, you know, if you want to sign a letter to pay
for the breaks.
Because you like it, that's why, Larry. You like it. You love doing it.
I wish the county, if the county only needs to get out and do their job, that would help.
On situations like that, Fred, where you have roads that are high traveled, is there a regular schedule, or is it as need be? Do the guys that have that route look at it and decide, or how do you decide?
Yeah, well, you know, we try to. Actually, this last, as you know, the man quit. That's Larry's
guy,
Scott Jorgensen,
district that he was in. We had another guy come up. His road grader, the fuel pump went out of it. Took the front cover out of our grader, and he was gone for 2 days. So
he didn't quit because Larry was overseeing him, did he?
No. Oh, the guy's doing a good job.
He's going to be missed. He did a very, very, very nice job.
Covered a lot of
ground. Of course, the high-traveled roads. We get also complaints of people that live on dead-end roads that we go by. We do the roads going by their place, but never do their road.
Well, my road, now, see, that's another thing. My road is Sir Joseph's Way. Mm-hmm. That thing, in the spring, falls enough.
Yeah, see, it's in Joseph's Way.
I don't know what happened. This year, he was in there three times. No. I don't know why. But I guess he's aggressive. That's what I'm going to miss about the guy, you know. Or he doesn't have to, or rather he didn't. But
okay. Well, thank you, Larry. Is there anything else? I don't want to cut you short. I mean, because we can talk about this. I mean, if you want to be on the record, that's fine.
Am I supposed to just...
Well, it comes down to liability, Larry. The reason we're covering, if we allow you to do it, we're just as liable as you do it.
Yeah, I understand.
But if we tell you you can't do it and you do it, at least we have documentation. We told you not to do it.
You
can't find.
I didn't say that. I'm saying we got documentation. And as you've seen in the, I don't know if in the letter there is any repercussions if we catch you doing it.
No, that's what I'm worried about. I didn't want to go to jail.
Hey, Larry, would you do like a certificate so you could blade it? We'd have to get one new one in place.
Yeah,
and so this is the point.
Yeah.
If you would make that phone call.
Why should I have
a thing? Hold on a second there. Would you? I know, because you like it. But if you'd say, "Hey, Fred, can you hear me out for a second? I listen to you. Can you listen to me?" He says to me, "Oh, hey, Fred, can you come do my road?" Well, I can get a guy out there in a couple of days. Well, then guess what? You have the certificate. So guess what? Larry goes out there and has a coldie and drives up and down the road and does some blading and has some fun.
The coldie's all down there on Fiddler Creek.
I don't know. I'm just teasing. But anyways.
On Saturday morning and Sunday morning. That's a great night,
sir. All right. Well, anyways, let's get a certificate with you so you can do that, okay? Fred, get Larry a certificate so we can get him signed up on... All right, listen, we are gone. We're out of here. Adjourned. See everybody at the first year because I am gone for the rest of the year.
Where are you going?
Phoenix. I'm leaving for Phoenix on Thursday, and I'll be back Christmas Eve.
You lies.
Oh, no. That's it. That's the story.
You're right.
Huh?
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah.